Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you this fine Tuesday evening?
James, I'm doing lovely. Trying to get comfortable in my chair. Ready to talk football. I'm ready for the draft. Let me just be straightforward with you. I'm ready for the NFL draft. I want to get there. I want to move on. I want to see who we're getting and figure out what the heck we're going to do with the season.
Dude.
But I'm good.
Exciting time of year.
It's very exciting. And most people don't even pay attention to it, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Wild. Wild time.
Yeah. So many people. So many people just think, oh, there's no football until August. Yo, this is everything. Free agency starts in a few days here. We got the draft a little bit over a month away, like about a month and a half away now.
Yeah.
There is so much going on in the NFL, and there's also news going on here with Steelers by the Lake. Cody, if you want to talk about last month's numbers.
Absolutely. So let's talk about last month's numbers. We're going to talk specifically the leaders in downloads in the world and in the U.S. specifically. In the world, top three, United States, shocker. United Kingdom came in second, and Mexico, okay. Mexico coming in third. So we like to see that. Thank you for the UK and Mexico downloads. We appreciate that. Now states, I'm gonna let you guess here. Guess who's number one in downloads in the U.S.
Oh, it isn't Pennsylvania, is it?
Pennsylvania, yeah. Pennsylvania number one, Ohio number two, Iowa number three, and then Florida coming in at four, with Colorado coming in at number five. Now, let me be clear. Colorado did tie New York. So New York was very, very New York and Colorado right there at number five. So
tied for fifth place.
Tied for fifth. One of you two.
How about Iowa, man? How about Iowa? Like 4 months ago.
When did that
happen? Dude, like 4 months ago, we didn't have anybody in Iowa. Now they're the third most downloaded state. That's appreciate the followers out there. Appreciate all of you.
Yeah.
But really appreciate that growing family we've got in Iowa right now. That's for sure.
It's fun looking at the map and seeing all the places light up when you got downloads there. It's really fun. Hey, listen, if you guys are from somewhere else, let us know where you're from. Let us know how you heard about the podcast. We'd love to hear from you, share your story, and just share the love for football and Steelers football, to be specific.
Absolutely. And you also have an opportunity, if you're a new listener and you're enjoying the show, feel free to give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, which we do have up and running again. Sorry about last week's episode that didn't get through to Apple Podcasts. We found the glitch. We fixed it.
James found the glitch.
Cody told me what it was. I just went chasing it.
That's fair.
You can do it there. You can also do reviews on our Facebook group, which our Facebook group is growing drastically. We're up well over 600 members on our Facebook page now. So on our journey towards 650, which will probably happen the way it's growing within the next week or two, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But feel free to give reviews there as well. It'll just help bring in more family so we can put together even better shows for you guys.
Absolutely. We have NFL news.
Yes. Steelers news and NFL news.
Yeah. Well, it kind of goes hand in hand with us. For all you people out there who are Steelers fans who are saying, trade for Russell Wilson. Sign Aaron Rodgers to a deal. Do this, do that. Well, guess what? Neither of those things are happening. Official today for both things, basically, or mostly official.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers signs a 4-year contract extension with the Green Bay Packers worth $200 million, 153 or 158 guaranteed, something crazy like that. And then Russell Wilson, poof,
Denver Bronco
traded away. For a lot.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. Denver gave up the farm for him.
Yeah.
Their starting quarterback, their starting tight end, 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, and a partridge and a pear tree, too.
Yeah, yeah. There's another guy. I don't remember who it was.
Yeah, I don't either. I feel bad about that right now, but
is what it
he
is.
Wasn't that. Yeah, sorry, is buddy. He was probably the long snapper.
They matter.
They do matter. I'm trying they to tell matter. You.
That. We'll get to that. Maybe this year when we draft a long snapper in the 7th.
I hope not.
I'd be so upset. But yeah, we're here to talk about the NFL Combine. The NFL Combine just happened. We have something else.
Stephon to it real quick.
That's fair. Yeah, yeah.
Kevin Colbert with a press conference on day one of the Combine did get asked about Stephon Tuitt. He did say he was able to speak with him, and Stephon Tuitt interested in playing for Pittsburgh again this upcoming season. So everything now is just in the details, getting him back into shape. I assume him to not be in the greatest shape right now. Who knows? Maybe he is in awesome shape. But he has at least expressed interest to Kevin Colbert in returning and playing football, which is awesome. Because you would think that would probably take that position off the list as far as needs for the offseason.
It should. It won't.
Unless something really, really tempting happens. But we're going to talk about that when we get into these combine guys.
Yeah, we will. So we're going to go through position by position. Now, they don't break up offensive linemen, so we'll talk offensive linemen as a whole, as well as linebackers to a degree, although we're only targeting off-ball linebackers, middle linebackers for Pittsburgh's needs. We're probably not going to talk to. I mean, there's one outside linebacker we might talk about. But anyways, we're going to start where we always start, at the position that gets paid the most. QB.
Yeah. Yeah, and probably the flashiest name in this group this year going to be Malik Willis. Malik came to the combine, weighed in a little bit over 6 foot tall, 219 pounds, and decided not to do any of the workout drills other than throwing the football, which he did look good throwing the ball. He showed off his very strong arm, had some decent accuracy as well. Kind of best case scenario for these guys because there's no pass rushers. Nobody's allowed to hit them. It's just, you know where the running, where the guy's going to be.
Yep.
You just put enough air under it so that he can go get it. But Malik did show off a very good arm in this process. So it's more about, you know, going back to his tape. How did he play? Was he able to read defenses? How accurate was he? How consistent was he with his accuracy? Because we know the athleticism's there. We know that the arm strength is there. It's a little bit weird that he didn't do any of the drills as far as the 40-yard dash and the vertical and all that stuff. Yep. You would kind of expect a really athletic guy like him to do that. My suspicion is maybe he's just trying to make sure his weight was high for the weigh-in, and then maybe he might do some of that stuff at his pro day, so we'll find out. When that comes, if he does decide to do any of those drills. But he didn't hurt himself. And I think sometimes when you're in that first round conversation, it's more about preserving your draft stock rather than increasing it.
Yep.
So he at least preserved it, might have increased it. He did get caught off camera. I don't know if you saw this.
I did.
Feeding a homeless guy.
No, not feeding.
He was giving him stuff.
He was giving him clothes.
Okay, it was clothes. Yeah, so it wasn't even just feeding him.
He opened up his suitcase and was giving him some of his clothes that he had. Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, so very awesome.
Seems like a very high character individual. If the football IQ and accuracy throwing the ball matches up with it, then that puts him right in the target, you know?
Now, I'm going to say something that is very... I don't want people to read it the wrong way, but I just know how this stuff works to a degree.
Yeah.
And how manipulative some people can be.
I thought this too, but I know what you're going to say.
And I'm not saying this happened. I'm not saying this is happening. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying him and even another guy. I think it might have been Carson Strong or Sam or Matt Corral. I don't know who it was. Somebody was caught on the sideline afterwards picking up all the stuff on the sidelines of it and throwing
EJ
it.
Perry.
EJ Perry.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. Anyways.
Picking up all the trash.
Even this. You could easily have had the EJ Perry or Malik Willis's agent said, hey, do this. It'll look good and you'll build your draft stock. And I'm not trying to, again, I'm not conspiracy theorist. I mean, I am a little bit, but anyways, Malik Willis, that guy could have not been even homeless. His agent could have hired somebody to go sit on the corner and said, hey, it could have happened. I'm not saying he's not a good kid. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just saying with this stuff, things are getting so intense and manipulative and all about wanting more and more money and higher draft and all this stuff that I wouldn't put it past somebody to do that. Now, again, it's a good look for Malik, whether it's fake or not. I don't care. It's a good look. You know,
it's a very good look.
Even if he was faking it, maybe that helped it grow his heart a little bit. You never know.
That's it.
Fake it till you make it, right?
Yeah, the only thing you can't grow with them is growing them any taller. So that might hurt him a little bit, being a little shorter of a guy, but you know what? Yeah, there's stilettos. You can play with football stilettos. Russ Wilson's only like 5'11", right?
It's fair.
And Denver just gave up 2 first-round picks and 2 second-round picks for him. And three some players too. Yeah, and 3 players along with it. So it's like, hey, you know, you never know out there. But some of the other guys, he was not the only one there. The most athletic guy to work out at the combine was going to be Mr. Where is he? Desmond Ridder had the best combine athletically.
Yes.
very fast 40-yard dash. Yeah. He ran a 4.5 flat, which is pretty dang impressive. And did well in the other drills as well. 36-inch vertical, 10-foot, 7-inch broad jump. These great. Are the kind of numbers you expect to see from wide receivers and corners and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So very impressive for him to put that up. At 6'3", 211 pounds, he's got good size. Just probably will want to put a little bit more weight on in future years to hold up. But I thought he represented himself well when it's all about coming to this. And this is an audition and you need to be in the best shape of your life. He clearly was. So you got to at least appreciate his work ethic there, which makes you think that he can probably work on other areas of his game that might be weaknesses. Arm strength, I don't believe is a weakness of his. So
yeah,
I would say for me, Desmond Ridder is one of those guys. If he's available in the second round, you consider him. I'm not so sure that I would take him in the first round. But if you already cleaned up in the first round with an elite offensive lineman or defensive lineman or corner or whatever it may be, and take care of one of those other needs in the first round, I would consider a quarterback like him in the second.
Yeah. And again, I will reiterate this. A lot of what we target in the draft will also depend on free agency, which starts here in a little under a week or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So after free agency kind of kicks off and we see if Pittsburgh's doing anything, that's when you'll probably see James and I get into our mock drafts and doing that kind of stuff for you guys and going through and yep. seeing how it plays out. So keep an eye on that. But again, if Pittsburgh gets a decent offensive lineman in free agency or a decent defensive lineman or corner, don't expect those to be as high a priorities throughout the draft. It'll change how Pittsburgh drafts for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. They might take them later on in the draft as a depth piece maybe, but yeah. not a priority higher on for a starter. No. Last quarterback that I think we really need to touch base on, Kenny Pickett. The quarterback out of Pitt, he had himself a nice day as far as measurables went. His hand size came in at 8.5 inches. Everybody's real worried about that. Didn't seem to be an enormous problem for him in college, but he did do well on his athletic testing. So that at least was a good sign for him with a 4.7 340, 33.5 inch vert and a 10'1" broad jump. Shows some good athletic numbers there. Not elite, but when you look at numbers, some say like Cam Newton, this is actually a faster 40-yard dash than Cam.
Yep.
So definitely doable as far as the mobility there in a plus athlete. Very accurate. Just not the strongest arm in the world.
Yeah, and he had the best 20, or he had the same 20-yard shuttle time as Desmond Ridder, which is kind of impressive.
Yeah, and that's great for your escapability when you're trying to get out of the pocket, trying to get away from that pass rusher, 100%. The blitzing corner or safety or whatever. That short area is extremely important, and that's a great sign for him. You wanted to talk EJ Perry, didn't you, Cody?
I did. EJ Perry stood out to me a lot on paper for this. I'm not saying Pittsburgh should draft him. I'm not saying anything like this. I'm saying on paper, he performed insanely well in this combine. He weighed in at 6'1.5", 211 pounds, 32.25-inch long arms with, again, a little bit larger hands than Pickett, but not a big issue, 8.75. He ran a 4.65 official 40 with a 10.3.
That's great.
With a 10.3 broad jump and a 4.18 20-yard shuttle time, which was better than both Pickett and Ridder. He performed well. He performed very yeah. well, and I'm very interested to see. I'm interested. EJ Perry, other than if Pittsburgh drafts a quarterback, will be the quarterback from this draft that I'm watching in the future to kind of see. I'm evaluating my own evaluation process, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. If they don't go first or second round and get one of those guys like Malik Willis, Matt Corral, Kenny Pickett, Desmond Ridder, Sam Howell, one of those two guys in the first two rounds, or maybe even Carson Strong if they're interested in a guy with one leg, then you gotta be looking at, is there someone later on? Because they're gonna bring in either a rookie either high or an undrafted guy or someone late in the draft.
Yep.
Later on, you might think an EJ Perry who stood out at the Shrine game and was the MVP, co-MVP with Diego Fago. And I think Jack Cohn, another one who had himself a nice performance at the Shrine game and looked very good throwing the ball here as well. So those are the two I'm looking at as far as later guys, EJ Perry, Jack Cohn.
Yep. Yeah, right.
Let's move on to the wide receiver group.
Let's do it. I'm excited.
Yeah, some serious speed at the wide receiver position this year. And also really in this entire draft class. Had 31 guys, according to Alex Kozora of SteelersDepot.com, that ran a 4.39 40-yard dash or faster. Previous years, the numbers are right around 11, 9, that kind of thing. So just tons of speed, and this is one of those positions that had it. Few guys jumped out to us. Mr. Tyquan Thornton from the Shrine Bowl. We talked about him previously. He put in a 4.28 40-yard dash. So
pretty quick,
pretty incredible time there for sure. Showing off that kind of speed. A real skinny dude, though, so I don't know how that would translate, but definitely something to keep an eye on there. A name I didn't talk to you about before when we were doing our pre-show here, but I know he was a big name in college ball last year. Tell before me. Getting an injury. George Pickens out of Georgia. Mm-hmm. George was considered a top wide receiver, had an injury, missed most of the year. I think he came back late. 6'3", 195 pounds, and ran a 4.4 flat on one of his 40s. His official 4.47. But that kind of size and length, Pittsburgh is looking for someone who can and stretch the field. We're looking for speed. Yeah. Doesn't necessarily have to be a super tall guy, but we're looking for speed no matter what.
Tall helps.
Yeah. we got to get somebody that can stretch the field and get these other guys open. A lot of people talking about Sky Moore as well. He ran a 4.41. 40-yard dash, 5'9", 195 pounds. Might do well in the slot. Wouldn't be surprised if a guy like that was a really good return man, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Last thing, the Penn State wide receiver, Jahan Dotson. You guys know we love our Penn State guys here. And Jahan had himself a nice combine as well. 5'10 and a half, 178 pounds.
4.43, 40.
Cody. Yeah, that's a really nice time, man.
It's not slow, and again, I can tell you that.
Yeah, dude blew it up at Penn State on a team that really struggled offensively. He was the standout game after game after game. So he'd look great in black and gold. I'll tell you what, keeping him in Pennsylvania would be a real nice move. And then your Ohio State guys all ran fast. Big surprise, right?
Shocker.
Yeah.
Absolute shocker. All right, running backs. We're not going to talk too much about running backs. The big things here. Is James wants to buy a jersey with his last name on it that is actually a jersey. So he would love it if Pittsburgh drafted Pierre Strong.
Listen, we just talked to you guys about him too.
We did. We really did. We talked about him from the Shrine
East-West Shrine game.
Shrine Bowl game.
Yeah, so when you remember the East-West Shrine Bowl, we talked to you about a running back that caught a screen pass and took it 65 yards for a touchdown, and he looked like he was probably really fast, got clocked at 18 miles an hour on the play, but he never really opened it up because he was being patient and staying behind blockers the whole way. Well, he opened it up the 40-yard dash, buddy. When you're running in the 4.3s at 207 pounds, that is blazing fast. For a running back. So Pierre Strong really put on a real nice show there for everybody in Indy. At a 4.37 40, 36-inch vert and a 10.4 broad. That's extreme quickness and a top-end speed. Would love to see him as a compliment to Mr. Najee Harris in Pittsburgh. Any other running backs really jump out at you want to talk about, Cody?
Nothing for me specifically. Again, the only reason, other than Pierre Strong being a good addition, the only thing that I would want out of a running back in this draft specifically would be if you can draft someone to come in and maybe take some reps at punter kick return be a threat, to be a threat in that aspect. And there's a couple guys, Isaiah Pacheco ran a 4.37. You also had a couple 4.39s in here. Breece Hall from Iowa State. And then there was another 4.38 by Ty Chandler from North Carolina. All these guys have my interest mostly just because of how fast they are. I'm not interested in a running back other than that, quite frankly. I think you got to focus on offensive line, get Najee some blockers. But again, a compliment piece late in the draft when we haven't seen Benny Snell work out or Anthony McFarlane, or even, you know, last year with having the other guy that I can't remember his name now at this point.
James Conner?
No, from the Dolphins.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. I'll think of it and I'll say it whenever we're talking. But you just had guys that didn't perform well.
Yeah.
you know, and you got to, I understand getting a piece back there to take some pressure off him, but at the same time, in my mind, that's not a priority.
Yeah. Interesting to me, the name Tyson Chandler out of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. If you remember the East-West Shrine game, we didn't really talk about him in our recap, but he had one heck of a game at the East-West Shrine Bowl. So having some speed on top of that, he's showing some capability there. One kind of crossover guy, we're going to switch into the tight end group right now. Yep. But it's kind of relevant because he's going to be a fullback in the NFL. That's Mr. Connor Hayward. And yes, that is Cam Hayward's little brother. Connor weighed in 5'11", 230 pounds, and ran a 4.73 40-yard dash. He translates as a fullback. To me, if you're not going to go get a super fast running back as a change of pace guy, considering someone like Connor Hayward late in the draft, sixth or seventh round, you maybe go with two fullbacks for one season. And then when Derek Watt's contract is up, you just roll forward with Connor Hayward, who happens to be really good on special teams also. So you got a guy who can excel in short yardage, who's going to be able to get you some blocking capability, who will be highly motivated to play with his brother.
Highly.
I don't know. I won't be surprised if Connor Hayward ends up a Steeler, especially if he's undrafted. I can't imagine Pittsburgh not bringing him in.
Yeah. Balazs, by the way. Kalen Balazs.
Kalen Balazs, yeah, that's who you're trying to think of.
Didn't see much from him either that mattered. Saw a little bit in preseason, but nothing during the season. But now that we're looking at tight ends,
yes,
let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Yes, let's get deep in the woods.
Delaney Woods.
That's our guy, man.
Hang on, I got to sit up for this guy. I got to look tall. 6'7", 253 pounds. The man is a tank on feet. To put it politely,
with a really big engine because he moves real fast.
4.61 at 6'7", 4.61 doesn't look fast because of how lengthy you are, but 4.61 is fast for a tight end that size, that weight, everything. I mean, and we saw it live action in game. He was able to, you know, stretch the field at that tight end position. Delaney Woods is someone that I'd be perfectly fine with us picking up third round or later. Quite frankly, you'd probably say second round, but.
No, honestly, I think that his college tape, there wasn't a lot of talk about him, which is why he ended up at the East-West Shrine Bowl and not at the Senior Bowl, right?
Yep.
But then he goes to the East-West Shrine Bowl and looks really good. Then he goes to the Combine, puts up some really solid numbers. We talked about this before. We don't think that Pittsburgh should be prioritizing the tight end position, but if a guy like this is sitting there and you've got a bonus pick in the fourth round, this is someone who might be an improvement over Zach Gentry. And then you've got a guy locked up with Freiermuth for the next 3 years. You know exactly what your tight end position is going to look like.
Yep.
So I would be real tempted on him in the third and fourth round. I would not go second round just because I think it's too high to prioritize that position.
2 years in a row, too.
Yeah. You can't do it, I don't think, personally. But if you start looking at third or fourth round, I would personally consider it just because you ought to be able to get some of the other big needs out of the way at that point.
Yeah.
But the kid, holy cow, man, so much potential. Really long arms, too. That kind of reach, what was it, like 34 and a half, I think he's 30, got?
34 and a half.
Wow, man. Yeah, that's on that kind of frame, the catch radius is just incredible on a guy like that. So you really would think that that's something that Pittsburgh really should consider. And honestly, I'm just as impressed with his 24 reps on the bench as I am his 40 time.
Yeah.
Because again, a guy with that long arms, you are traveling a lot further distance than somebody like me that's probably only got like 27 or 28 inch long arms, you know? He doesn't go very far to get those reps.
He led the tight ends in reps on the bench. So that's saying
something. Yeah, and probably had the longest arms too.
Close to.
So he's just... Yeah, he's just spending the time in the gym that everybody else isn't.
Yeah. No, he did have the longest arms. You were correct. No, he was tied with the longest arms from a guy from Iowa State, but that's beside the point. But he's the only tight end that I specifically want to talk about, unless you want to talk about somebody else, which I think there's one name.
Yeah, there's a, I mean, Jake Ferguson was a really good tight end looking at the Senior Bowl. Put up kind of a pedestrian output, a 4.8, 140-yard dash, 15 reps on the bench. It wouldn't be anything I'd be interested in. But it's at least something you want to look at when you're looking at that. Trey McBride, a lot of people's number one tight end coming into this year, came in, benched 18 reps, didn't run the 40. He's small. I'm out.
Yeah. Yep, I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you on that one. Offensive line time.
Yeah, we're going to try and split these guys up between tackles and interior guys. So it's a little bit tough to do because our list is pretty much just smearing them all together.
Yeah, let's start interior because I want to talk about one person in particular that we already talked about, and I want to make it a point that we should not be interested in him, and if you're interested in him, you should educate yourself. Alec Lindstrom.
Yes. No, Tyler Linderbaum.
Tyler. Oh, I have it up. Yep. Tyler Linderbaum.
Yeah.
Wrong one.
But they're right next to each other. And honestly, Alec Lindstrom, very similar measurables to him, but much better length on the arms. But the thing is, so like everybody is talking about Tyler Linderbaum, the number one center projected by most folks in this draft class, but he's an undersized guy. That's the big thing here. He weighed in at 6'2", 296, didn't do any of the drills. And you always suspect that when a guy does that and he weighs in more than what he was listed at in college, that he put a little extra weight on for that. And then he'll probably drop the weight, go to his pro day, run some 40s and whatnot, and show some good numbers. But the biggest issue here is arm length, right, Cody?
Yep. Yeah, he's only 31 and an eighth inch long arms.
Yeah, it's
by far one of the shortest arm lengths. You have guys in here with 36 inch, 35 inch, you know, almost another 36 inch long arms. These guys are the ones that can hold their blocks and allow and push people to the outside or push, you know, all this stuff. That technique can only do so much when you don't have the physicality or the physical body to reach and block somebody or reach if you're trying to help somebody on the side and keep someone in front of you. You're limited by your own physical capacity. That is a massive limitation. The same thing we got to see all year with Kendrick Green. Kendrick Green was very similar.
Yeah, and Kendrick Green was 304 pounds, so about 10 pounds heavier, and 32 and a quarter inch long arms, so an inch longer arms, and struggled mightily with guys with length and size, and this guy's a lot smaller and shorter arms. And I get it. His tape looks good until you see him against really big dudes and then he struggles. And that's just going to be worse in the NFL because those really big dudes are a hell of a lot bigger and stronger in the NFL. So he's not going to get to go against 280-pound or 270-pound defensive linemen in the NFL. They don't exist.
Nope.
There's like no interior guys that are light like that. Aaron Donald's one of the lightest ones out there, but he's just a complete ball of muscle and would absolutely own somebody like that. So I'm out on him. Cody seems to be out on him as well here. And yeah, we just gotta look at guys that have the measurables of what stands up to the time, the test of time in the NFL. And one that I've got my eyes squarely on as a possible first-round pick for Pittsburgh is Zion Johnson out of Boston College. Zion just looks, yeah, like Cody's flexing right now for good reason. Zion Johnson's got muscles on top of muscles. He put up 32 reps on the bench, which tied for the most by any offensive lineman in this entire draft class. At 6'2 and a half, 312, I don't care about the height. What I want to know is, do you have enough strength? Do you have enough arm length? At 34-inch long arms, he's got plenty of length to be playing in the interior.
Yep.
That's really good length for a guard. And really, right across the board, he looked great. His anchor was great when he was at the Senior Bowl. And again, I think this is the kind of guy you can start day one and build your interior franchise around. If you've got him on one side, Kevin Dotson on the other, I feel really good about the guards.
Oh, absolutely. I can't agree with you more. And he ran a 5.18, which isn't necessarily slow. You had some guys on here that were in the 5.9 or like 5.8s, 5.6s.
I think Pouncey was right around there, to be honest. And you saw how quick Pouncey was when he got down the field.
He's quick. He was a good pulling center. This guy could be a good pulling
guard. Yeah, this guy's got the movement skills to do that. His short area quickness is very good. On the flip side, a lot of people talking about Kenyon Green, also considered by many as a first-round interior offensive lineman. Kenyon didn't look good. No. He looked a little out of shape. Unfortunately, his 40 was official 5.24, but looked a lot slower. A 1.81 10-yard split. He was falling a lot in drills. Had to be given instructions multiple times on the same drill when he wasn't even the first guy in line and other people had run it already. And kind of a sloppy build, honestly. So, you know, Kenyon Green, maybe he's something you can work with, but I wouldn't probably be interested in the first round. You need a guy that can stay on his feet. So, again, we've saw this way too much with Kendrick Green last year, of a guy that couldn't stay on his feet, and I don't want to see that.
Nope, not again. It was bad enough the first time, for sure.
Some tackles?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's it for interior for me. Who do you want to talk about tackle-wise?
Daniel Falele.
Falele.
Yeah, again, we talked about this guy at the Senior Bowl. Weighed in at 6'8", 384 pounds, 35 and an eighth inch long arms. And you know what? He didn't do anything other than bench, but he did put up 24 reps. Which for a guy with that incredible length is pretty good. So I didn't expect him to go out and run a 40-yard dash. Why would you do that when you're 384 pounds? Why are you going to go and do jumps when you're 384 pounds? But I think that Falele is a guy that second, third round, if you haven't done anything about your offensive tackle position, you should strongly consider it, because this is a guy that's a mauler in the run game. And I think you can teach him stuff in his pass blocking and kind of get the finesse stuff down.
Yeah.
Charles Cross, kind of a finesse guy in the pass blocking game though, right?
Yeah. Basically the complete opposite style of gameplay, from Falele, but is almost just as accomplished in what he does. You know, you're not seeing the mauler type aspect, but you're seeing a guy who can sit there and pass protect very, very well. And you saw it at Mississippi State where he played, 6'4", 307 pounds, 34 and a half inch long arms. Again, the length is there. He's not limited
That's
by
good
the
length.
And then he actually ran the 40 with a 4.95 official time.
That's fantastic
speed.
Yeah. For a guy that big, that's very good.
I'll take him in at a third tight end. Let him. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, that's great speed. He performed well. He put up, what was it? He didn't do the bench, but he did a 26 inch vertical jump and a 9'4" broad jump. I don't know why
it's not bad for a guy.
I don't know why you want those guys jumping, but that's not bad.
And yeah, so like Charles Cross, if you're looking for a pass blocking offensive tackle, probably going to be the best one available when Pittsburgh picks, if he is available. Could easily go higher than the 20th pick. He's most people's either offensive tackle 3 or 4, depending on who you're talking to. The other guy opposite him would be Trevor Penning, who put up a real nice day for himself. Weighed in at 6'7", 325, 34 and a quarter inch long arms. Again, the length that you're looking for. He got himself a 4.89 40-yard dash.
Wow.
Very impressive there. Yeah. Very, very impressive. 28-inch vert, 9.3 on the broad jump. Did not bench again. A lot of these guys that are running good 40 times like this are probably going to bench at their pro day, because they probably ate some extra salads for a couple weeks to trim down a little bit, run a faster 40. I get it.
I ate a salad.
It's a smart strategy.
Yeah.
People will question your 40-yard dash at your pro day, but they won't question what you bench, because there's no faking that.
True. It's very true. I don't know. That's it for me for offensive line.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we need to really get too far into the woods with too many other guys. There was one other guy that kind of caught my eye a little bit, but I'm probably not going to find him until we're moving on. Oh, Kellen Deesh out of Arizona State. Looked really nice at the Shrine Bowl, 6'7", 301. Only 32 and a quarter inch long arms, but a 4.89 40. He's got some good movement skills. So could be a later round guy. That might be able to give you some snaps in multiple positions.
Yeah, I like that for sure. Defensive line, anyone you want to specifically start off with?
Yes, absolutely. There is this thing they call the planet theory, Cody.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of the planet theory.
Fill me in.
And there's the idea of the planet theory is that there's only so many guys that can do what this person does. There's only so many people that are that big, that strong, that fast, that kind of thing. So it's a once in a planet kind of guy. And we've got one of those in this draft class, and his name's Jordan Davis. Holy cow, man.
He's big. He measured in at 6'6", 341 pounds, 34 inch long arms with 10 and 3/4 inch wide hands, and ran a 4.78 40.
Insane, bro.
That's a freaking, that's a bowling ball.
5'2 would have been good for him.
That's like if Dwayne The Rock Johnson threw a bowling ball down the run, like down the bowling lane. I don't even know. Yeah, I don't even know how to
the
explain
pins would
that.
Shatter.
He's massive.
The pins would shatter. Yeah. This guy played at like 360, 370 pounds at Georgia, trims down to 340 and you see a 4.78. That's absolutely insane. So this is the kind of guy that if somehow, some way he's available at number 20.
First round, take him.
You really have to strongly consider it if you're Pittsburgh, because you know that Cam Hayward's on the wrong side of 30. I personally believe Cam Hayward has a number of good years left in him. I think he could easily have two or three more years elite before he starts to tail off.
Yeah.
Tyson Alualu is already like 35 years old, and we don't know what we're going to be getting with Stephon Tuitt. We know that he should be coming back at this point. That's very exciting. If we get what we got from Stephon Tuitt in 2020 in the future, fantastic. But he's also only got like 1 year left on his deal.
Yep.
If a guy like this comes available, passing up on him might not be a smart move. Just saying, I could see him ending up in friggin' Baltimore or something, and then we got to deal with him.
Yep. Another Haloti Ngata, but a little bit faster and a little bit taller.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. What a nightmare he was to deal with.
Yep. Yeah, it was rough. That's the only person that I care to talk about on the D-line. I'm not going to lie. I know that you have.
Yeah. Yeah, there's two more guys. Yeah. Perrion Winfrey, we talked about him from the Senior Bowl, was an electric player at the Senior Bowl, weighed in at 6'3 and a half, 290. And ran himself a 4.89 40, which is real nice.
Real nice.
35 and a quarter inch long arms. So he represented himself real well. Very athletic. And then the last one I wanted to talk about, Travis Jones. Again, Travis was at the Senior Bowl, dominated. Nobody could block him all friggin' week there. Came in at 6'4", 325, 34 and a quarter inch long arms, 4.92 40. Like, these guys are massive human beings running very quickly. So there's some serious guys at the top end of this draft, first or second round, defensive line-wise, that if you grabbed one of them, could be a rock of the defense for a number of years in the future. So I think it's at least something Pittsburgh should consider if any of these guys are available. First round, I say just probably Jordan Davis. Maybe you consider Perrion Winfrey. Second round, if Perrion Winfrey or Travis Jones is there, you really got to think about it.
Yeah. Moving on to edge rushers, there's only one that I want to talk about. I don't know if there's any that you want to talk about specifically.
One.
Okay.
And it's different from yours.
That's fine. I want to talk about Sam Williams. Sam Williams from Ole Miss. I got to see some highlights of him in-game highlights from him playing, and I didn't get to see a whole lot from the combine, unfortunately, but going back and looking at the highlights and seeing things, I didn't watch much of it live. But Sam Williams, 6'3", 261. Very fast for what he is. His official 40 time was a 4.46. That's fast. That's incredibly fast. You got to see it. If you ever get the chance to go back and look at his highlights, he's fast on the edge. He's also patient when he realizes the quarterback can move up in the pocket. He contains the edge and forces mistakes or forces sacks. He forces fumbles. He gets interceptions. That's what I want. That's more of TJ Watt style type stuff, and I love it. But again, Sam Williams, more than likely not going to be drafted by Pittsburgh because edge rusher is just not a priority. But that's the guy I wanted to talk about.
And you assume that a guy with that kind of athleticism is going to go fairly high in the draft. So
yeah, he should.
We'll see where Sam goes. But yeah, tape's very impressive on him. I wanted to talk about another Penn State guy just because I got this Penn State obsession going on here. Jesse Luketta out of Penn State played some high school football here in Erie, Pennsylvania. Came to the combine at 6'2", almost 6'3". Trimmed down to 253 pounds, 32 5/8-inch long arms. Ran his 40-yard dash and got a 4.89, which is not blazing fast. Unfortunately, he did tweak something when he ran his 40-yard dash. But he had a 1.68 10-yard split, which is very, very quick. And he did get his jumps in before that with a 37.5-inch vertical leap and a 9'6" broad jump. So showed very good explosion and quickness measurables, which are the most important thing for pass rushers. So I think Jesse Luketta could be somebody Pittsburgh eyes up maybe later on in the draft. If they were to take somebody 6th or 7th round and Jesse is somehow still there, I think he should be strongly considered because he would be an awesome top rotational guy to put in there behind TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith.
I agree. I agree full-heartedly. Time to move on to middle linebackers.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of them here, so we're going to try and get through a few of them here without taking up too much more of you guys' time. I know we're dragging on a little bit here today. The first one I'm going to go with is going to be Damone Clark out of LSU. Damone weighed in 6'2.5", 239 pounds, 33-inch long arms, ran a 4.57 40, showing nice acceleration and speed. What's what you're looking for? We're looking for a middle linebacker that we can pair with Devin Bush, who has the length, preferably, to get off of a block and move along.
Yep.
That was the biggest thing that we struggled with last year. Schobert and Bush just couldn't get off of blocks. No penetration from him. Damone Clark would change that kind of thing very quickly.
Very quickly.
So stuck out to me as a guy with the athleticism that you're looking for. That could definitely be a game changer for Pittsburgh in the middle. Any of them you want to jump to before we get to some more of these guys here, Cody?
The big one that I know you want to talk about, Chad Muma.
Chad Muma. Let's talk about Chad again. Chad had himself a nice game at the Senior Bowl.
Very nice.
Down Malik Willis from behind on a play that he was going in for a touchdown on, it looked like. And Chad came and showed out. 6'3", 239, his arm length leaving a little bit to be desired. That's the only thing that I think will make him probably drop 3rd or 4th round. But a 4.63 40-yard dash is very good for a middle linebacker. 27 reps on the bench.
Yep.
One of the strongest of the entire group, if not the strongest. 40-inch vert, very, very impressive for a white dude. And 10.9 on his broad jump, again, very, very impressive. So great explosion numbers from Chad Muma, and good size in height. So you would think he'd be able to disrupt a little bit and really contribute in the pass defense game. Do you want to talk about the Penn State guy here, Cody?
Yeah, let's talk about him. You going specifically Brandon Smith?
Yeah, Brandon Smith on this one.
Brandon Smith, obviously Penn State guy. James and I both love Penn State. James gets to watch Penn State a little bit more than I do. But guy showed out at the combine fairly well. He ran a 4.52, which was that's decent speed out of a middle linebacker.
Like that's very good speed.
You don't need someone to run. Let me clarify. At a 4.52, he's running down a good portion of halfbacks or
most of them.
Most halfbacks and even a few decent wide receivers, speed wise.
Yeah, yeah. Every Steelers wide receiver, all of them.
That's true. But he
except Chase.
It, except Chase. 6'3", 250 pounds, 34 5/8 long arms.
Fantastic.
That's phenomenal. Fantastic. But yeah, I don't know what more. Like to me, he's the one Penn State guy, and not to be mean to Penn State, he's the one Penn State guy that I'm like actively wanting them to draft. Like I would love to see him come to Pittsburgh and play in the black and gold and look phenomenal doing it. He'd be very quick. He'd be nice to put beside Devin Bush. I think he could probably get off the block better than Devin can, unfortunately. But that's just my input on him.
Yeah, I think that's when you look at what a guy can do for himself at the combine, he just had a tremendous, tremendous combine performance. His tape at Penn State is very good. I would be all on board with him, no doubt about that. So definitely something that Pittsburgh should be considering. In our opinion, Devin Lloyd, most people's inside linebacker number one, came in 6'2 and a half, 237, 33-inch long arms, and a 4.66 official 40-yard dash. Again, that's a good time.
Good time.
It's not blazing fast. It's definitely not slow. That's faster than Lawrence Timmons clocked, and a lot of people had Lawrence Timmons as one of the fast wide receivers. I mean, he used to get matched up as the guy to stop Mike Vick. When we played against the Falcons, he was the one that shadowed Mike Vick.
Yeah.
So at 4.66, I wouldn't really be worried about that athleticism. So he did himself a favor there. He showed up good at the combine. And I think this is a guy that if you're going to go Devin Lloyd, it's going to have to be first round. He's expected to be the first middle linebacker off the board.
If he's there.
If he's there at 20.
Yep. Moving on to cornerback room. I don't think we have anybody else middle linebacker we want to talk about. Cornerback room, I want to start with somebody, and then James, I'll let you take over. Tariq Woolen from UTSA came in 6'4", 205 pounds, very tall individual, tall and lengthy, which is something Pittsburgh hasn't super really had in the cornerback room, at least starting-wise, very often or very recently. Ran a 4.26 40 and had a 42-inch vertical jump. The man is athletic, to say the least. Now, a lot of this does come from his height advantage with the jumping ability, but a 4.26 at that size, he's not getting beat deep. I can tell you that much. And that's half of our problem in the passing game is we get beat deep so often by quick receivers, especially when you look at the receivers in our division nowadays. Baltimore's just drafting more and more fast guys over and over again. Cleveland's trying to get there, and then Cincinnati with Jamar Chase. Oh, one-on-one with Jamar Chase. I'd prefer to watch that than anyone else on our team right now go against Chase. Let's be real.
Yeah, you got to have some speed to go against these guys in the NFL these days. If you're going to beat Cincinnati, if you're going to beat Kansas City, these top teams in the AFC, even Buffalo, you better have some speed at the corner position, or you're never going to get past these elite teams. So it's something Pittsburgh absolutely has to address in this offseason. I'm going to get a little saucy for a minute here. We talked about Sauce Gardner a few months back, talking about him being a top prospect this year. He did himself some favors, went to the combine, 6'2 and a half, 190 pounds, 33 and a half inch in his arm length, which is tremendous length for a corner, and a 4'4, 140. Didn't do anything else. I wouldn't have either if I was him.
No. His game tape does it. He hasn't allowed a single touchdown pass in 4 years of college.
That's nuts, bro.
That's unheard of.
Yeah.
I'm real curious. After this, I'm going to look up how many Deion Sanders allowed. I'm just curious. Charles Woodson, all these guys. I
guarantee it's more than one.
You know? It's more than zero, that's for sure.
Yeah. Like everyone is more than zero. A couple of guys that are like top corners, because I do think that if a top corner falls to Pittsburgh, they should consider it. Yep. Sauce probably going to be the number one corner now. A lot of people had him as the two or three previously, but with the combine performance and how close things were, a lot of people calling him the number one now. Andrew Booth out of Clemson, a hair over 6 foot, 194 pounds, did not run a 40-yard dash. But he's got the size you're looking for, considered by many to be a likely first-round pick. And then let me see if I can find any of these other guys. You want to talk about the Penn State boy for a minute while I try to find some of these other ones, Cody?
Yeah.
Tariq Castro Fields, right up at the top there.
Yeah, 6 foot and a half, 197, 30 and three-fourths inch long arms. Nothing to be super dramatic about there. They're basically average arms for a cornerback. You're not looking for the insane length that you necessarily are on offensive or defensive line, but the length obviously helps when it comes to reaching around defense or reaching around offensive players and knocking the ball out. But a 4.38 40 was very fast for that cornerback room. Again, Pittsburgh's really missing some speed in the cornerback room, but he didn't perform anything else. He didn't do broad jump, vertical jump, the 20-yard split, none of that stuff. He didn't do anything else. Expecting to maybe do some of that at the pro day for Penn State. Most of these guys, again, like we talk about every single year, and James has already talked about a couple times, they'll lose some weight and run faster for their 40 for the combine, and then they'll go back in the comfort of their own gym and everything where they're a little bit more accustomed to things, do their heavy lifting and stuff like that. So nothing out of the ordinary there.
Okay, so there's three other guys here that are all possible first-round picks, and we're going to cover them real fast here. Roger McCreary out of Auburn, Trent McDuffie out of Washington, Derek Stingley Jr. out of LSU. Roger McCreary, 5'10 and 190 pounds. Short arms, 28 and 7/8 inch. That could hurt him in a 4.5 flat 40. So that didn't help him too much with the measurables. Trent McDuffie out of Washington, 5'10, a hair over at 193, 29 and 3/4 inch long arms, so about an inch longer, and a 4.44 on the 40-yard dash. So that's a little bit more the speed and the length that you're looking for. Derek Stingley Jr. did not participate in the drills, but did weigh in at 6 foot 190 and 30 and 5/8 inch long arms. So you're getting better length out of him yet. So we'll be interesting to see what Derek does at his pro day as far as his speed and if he does the jumps as well.
Yep, absolutely. Safety time. Specifically, yeah. We're looking for strong safeties. Occasionally, you'll find somebody else. I only have, I believe, one guy that I want to talk about here as well. Yeah, only really mm-hmm. one guy for me, and that's JT Woods. JT Woods specifically for me stands out. I know that you have someone else we're going to talk about from Georgia Tech that we talked about during the Shrine Bowl.
Yes.
But JT Woods from Baylor, 6'1 and a half, 195 pounds, 32 and 3/8 inch long arms. Ran a 4.36 official 40 with a 39 and a half inch vert and a 10 foot 8 inch broad jump. That's really well done. Good combine numbers for JT Woods.
Yeah,
I guarantee you he increased his draft stock from this. So I'm interested to see where he goes, and maybe Pittsburgh, you know, drafts him later on. He's not super big. Not exactly what Pittsburgh might be looking for, but I like his numbers.
Yeah, some really good measurables in this group. A lot of safeties real fast or real strong, and a little bit of both on some. Nick Cross out of Maryland to me looked like a linebacker at 6'2", 12, but he ran a 4.34 40. Lightning fast, very strong, could easily fit the strong safety role for Pittsburgh. Lewis Seen out of Georgia, considered to be a top type guy for most folks, 6'2", 199, ran a 4.37. So lightning fast. Really good height and weight. Jaquan Prisker out of Penn State. You know I'm going to talk about him. A lot of people's number two or three safety, depending on the list. 6'1", 199. Ran a 4.4, 940 before injuring himself on that 40. So unfortunately was unable to run a second one. But just a few names there to keep in mind because guys that looked like it. Also Quentin Lake, Carnell Lake's son. Good measurables, 6'1", 201. Ran himself a 4.5, 940, so nothing crazy. He'd be a late guy, like a 6th or 7th.
Yep. No Georgia Tech guy?
Yes, Wanye Thomas. I'm sorry.
No,
I skipped over Wanye. I don't know how I skipped over Wanye.
I don't know either.
Wanye blew it up at the Shrine Bowl. We talked about how he had a tremendous game, was hitting people real hard, was really all over the place, honestly. 6 foot and one half, 212, so that's great size. 32 and 3/8 inch long arms. That's nice length, though not necessarily as important for safety. And then he ran a 4.55 40, which is good for a big safety.
Yep.
So Wanye felt like he represented himself well. 17 reps on the bench, 34 and a half inch vert, and a 10-2 broad, so good explosiveness, great straight. 17 reps for a safety is very good.
Very good. I gave him a nickname since the Shrine Bowl. He is the line to gain defender, because we saw twice prevent first downs on really big plays that are, quite frankly, you don't even see these plays made in the NFL very often from safeties. And he came up and made very large hits, one on an out on like a route in the flat against a running back or wide receiver, I can't remember who, but great hit, great force, make sure he pounded him, held him up. And then the other one was right in the backfield. He blitzed through a gap and managed to stop the running back in the backfield, which was phenomenal from the safety position. So, yeah, boom. Looked a lot like Robert Spillane and Derrick Henry meeting there in the middle, if you know what I'm saying.
Woo! That went great for Robert Spillane.
No, not really. But yeah,
It did for Spillane. Spillane won.
Yeah, but his shoulder. He like didn't play very well after that or consistently.
You got the highlight.
That's fair. You got the high sound too. You heard that on TV. It was ridiculous. Yeah, it was
great.
But yeah, that's going to do it for the combine. The punters ran well, as James told me before that we started recording. Punters ran well, so that's great.
Yeah, all in the 4.6s and low 4.7s. That's great for punters.
Oh, stop. Let's stop. Actually, one was a 4.61.
Yeah.
No, that was a 4.56. That's phenomenal.
Jake, right? Jake, I told you they ran well.
They did. Whatever. I don't care. We don't need a freaking punter.
All right, we're wrapping the show up today, guys. We went on longer than we planned on. I apologize for that. We do have another show coming up Friday. We're going to be recording for the defensive free agents. So look forward to that to start your weekend off right with some Steelers by the lake. Cody, you want to take us out of here?
As always, again, be sure. We can't thank you guys enough for following, listening, liking, whatever, sharing. Do all of it. We love you so much. The 5-star reviews for James and his happy face. Right there. There it is. Again. Make sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Steelers by the Lake. Make sure you hit the subscribe button and ring the bell. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.